Getting back to fly camp after days of roaming the bush is like being 6 years old again and standing in front of the sweets counter in the corner cafe. There's just so much that one can participate or partake of. There's a bit of wine left. There are some snacks. There's a comfortable chair. There's a table, even though it's the food box lid. One can have one's shower warmed over the fire if you want. There's clean clothes which have been washed by the camp attendants that stayed behind to watch the vehicle, and they hung it out in the sun and it smells of sunlight. There's even different clothes that you can put on for sleeping, and there are tweezers for finally getting rid of those damn irksome thorns. Yes, it's a gentle repose. And only later, when one has satisfied the lust to nibble and rummage, and the essential body maintenance has been done, and the fire is calmed, and it's just a glow of coals, only then do you start thinking, maybe, of tomorrow. Now, here's a short passage from a book, my book, The Wanderers, about arriving back in camp. This camp was a more permanent one than the fly camp at the vehicle. It was a camp we borrowed from a safari operator in the area during his off-season, and we used it to explore the area along the Zambezi in the Tete district of Mozambique. We were finally back in the main camp on the Zambezi. It almost felt like some sort of a destination. There was something extravagantly luxurious about being surrounded by such profusion of conveniences after living at ground zero for so long. We had a slow, warm shower with enormous quantities of water that Nelson had warmed on his cooking fire to just the right temperature. We let the water soak into the thorn cuts and the cracked skin. Then that clean towel and the crisp feel of clean shirt and shorts. My clothes had become stiff and shiny from accumulated dirt and sweat, and they were so tattered from the ravages of the African thorn felt that I simply discarded them, to the delight of Lost Soul, who happened to be closest to my hut when I undressed. We took up position in chairs at the fire, each with a reasonably cool beer we felt we could pinch from Stefan's precious stock, to watch the sun die in vast crimson and orange and purples over the upstream reaches of the Zambezi. Nelson didn't even bother to call us to the table. He simply brought us a tray each at the fire with our food. It was a buffalo stew, with some vegetables that he had miraculously brought to reasonable palpability. Afterwards, we sat quietly in the pale light of the half moon, listening to the African night and reflecting back on those stark moments over the past days that, although commonly experienced, burned differently in each of our minds. Tomorrow, we would have to start packing and thinking of the real world, but tonight, we would still drift along in the dream.